world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I was talking to my wife yesterday, which I do that regularly, by the way. I was talking to Michelle yesterday and said, man, I need to get away. We need to get away. But you know, really, I can't get away. I can't get away from it. If I were to go on vacation for 4 or 5 days, I would bust if I couldn't do this show because it's an outlet for me. You understand? I sit around and percolate all day long. And I'm sorry, that's the way it is. But I'm on a relentless, I don't even know what I'm on. I'm on a journey for the sake of my grandchildren. That's the way I see it. I would like to go lay on the beach. I'd love to go do that. Take a week off. I can't do it. Take a week off from my show. Are you kidding me? You say, well, Coach Dave, it'll reinvigorate you. Yeah, it might. I'm going to explode for those five or six days that I don't get a chance in here. And I hope all of you out there, hey, we're going to take communion. Get yourself communion while I'm jabbering here. I would hope if we're being effective, which I know that we are, then most of you, when you come in here every morning and we present stuff to you that we discuss, from spiritual stuff to governmental stuff to all that stuff. We talk all that stuff. When you walk away from here and the show's over, you're far more informed than anybody you go to church with. I just promising you, anybody you go to church with. I'm going to tell my wife and I have not turned on Fox News in maybe 7 years. I couldn't even tell you. I know nothing about Fox News because I don't trust them. So I certainly don't watch MSNBC. I don't watch CNN. I don't watch any of that. I get none of that. I don't get any of my information from them, folks. It's all called programming for a reason. Programming for a reason. And the ones that we love, if they're not see, you're uncomfortable because you are awake or you're awakening up. And the reason you come back here every day is because you watch what goes on and you say, you know what? Coach wasn't lying. And something gets going inside of you. And you say, well, I'm going to take a couple weeks off. Like some people have done, they disappeared. I'm going to get away. And I'm just, well, it's almost impossible to do, isn't it? And the reason it's impossible to do is because your spirit man's being fed here the truth. There's a lot of things that I could get into that are fringe things that I'm becoming more and more convinced aren't fringe. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not going to go any further with it. I think one of the greatest demonic deceptions ever perpetrated on America is NASA. NASA. And the whole thing of going into space and going into the moon and going all that stuff, the space shuttle, everything. I think that is one of the greatest sci-fi things that they've ever done to us. Getting your communion, getting ready to go here. I'm venting a little bit as Joe's getting ready to go. This, by the way, this is show 2,239. That's amazing. Hey, has anybody talked to you about the voodoo in Springfield? Huh? Voodoo? Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, Haitians and voodoo. Not hearing much about that. All right. Got a lot to do today, as always. And Joe, if you would, come on, lead us in communion. And then when we get done, we're going to do the Liberty Action Network thing. Who's going to read that for me? Somebody get ready. I'm going to read that. Joe's going to lead us in communion. Then we're going to do the Liberty Action thing. And then we're going to get into it. So, Joe, come on in. Thanks for getting up. Joe, you're muted.
Sorry about that. I had my human moment. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom
of God. Hang on. Hang on. Remember this, friends. Kingdom of God is not heaven. The kingdom of God is within us, Jesus told us, right? So it's not a flesh and blood thing. You cannot flesh and blood get the kingdom. It's a spiritual thing. So thanks, Joe, for bringing flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God because it's a spiritual thing. Go ahead, Joe.
Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must be put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen. Amen.
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the law. You know, the strength of sin is the law.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. See, the law. I'm sorry, Joe. The law is what makes you aware that you're sinning, friends. That's the purpose of the law. It exposes your sin. Right, wrong, good, evil. That's the purpose of the law. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. See, the guy who's not saved doesn't understand all this because it's spiritually discerned. This is gibberish to what they're talking about if you're not a born-again, Spirit-filled Christian who can relate to this. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Amen. Lord. You know, Coach, I think some people could confuse that labor with the law, but it actually is your fruit for Jesus. Amen.
Right, that's right.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning again with gratitude in our hearts for this day that you have made and that you have seen fit to let all of us here in this unique congregation we have spreading across this great country and sometimes into a few other countries. We're grateful that we're here together, that our hearts are beating and our lungs are full. And we are grateful for our challenges that make us stronger, our challenges that bring us through and out of things we should not be a part of, our challenges that help sanctify us in your light, bringing us closer to being worthy, Lord. And we ask that people we meet see you in us. Even when we might not like them or what they're doing, let them see you in us, Lord. Let us be your ambassadors. And when we drop the ball, Lord, help us to repent and just pick it up again. And continue. And We ask that you bring discernment to those in our lives that we love so much. We can't see what is in front of them. They can't believe that what they have been taught, most of it, were partial truths, which are lies. And some things they've been taught have almost no truth in them at all. And we ask you to give us patience and when to pick our battles and when to sit back and smile with patience of a fisherman. We are fishers of men. And Lord, we thank you for communion. We ask that you forgive us our sins and transgressions as we look at ourselves now. Bring us cleansed into your sight. And let this be the meal that heals for any of us that have wounds in our body, our soul, our spirit. Let this be the meal that heals. And so we ask you to bless the bread and the drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The same night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Joe.
Welcome, sir.
Amen. Hey, let's jump into Liberty Action Network. By the way, looking up here, are you guys, I hope, still sending letters to Dr. Paul Goslin? I hope you are. Send him one a week, couple a week. He ain't heavy. He's our brother. Who's gonna do this for us this morning?
I'll read it, Coach.
Awesome. Go for it, Dave.
Hence, we are at a pivotal moment in prophetic scriptures as the people of this world and its future. We will follow, comply, and agree to the New World Order being voted on by the General Assembly of the United Nations this September 2024.
Yeah.
If you say no, then join me and recite Psalm 2 for 30 consecutive days during the United Nations General Assembly, 79th General Assembly, scheduled from its opening on September 10th, 2024 to October 10th, 2024. The Messiah's Trumpet and Kingdom, Psalm 2. Why do the United Nations rage and the people plot in a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed Jesus, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my King Jesus on the holy hill of Zion.
Amen.
I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son, Jesus. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you all nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possessions. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Lord, you are a potter. We are your clay.'"
Amen.
Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, King Jesus, lest he be angry and you perish in the way.
Amen.
When his wrath shall be, when his wrath is kindled, but a little, blessed are all those who put their trust in him, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So be it, huh? So pull those kingdoms down, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Man, oh man, oh man, man. A lot going on. Crazy world, isn't it, friends? Because, see, we're in a world that is under a strong delusion. That's Ephesians, by the way. Ephesians, is Ephesians 2? Pull it up there for me. I didn't even look. Is it Spencer this morning? Who else? I'm sorry, dude. Yeah. Ephesians, is it Ephesians 2? I might be wrong. Slide on down, brother. Slide on down. And no. Maybe it's 2 Thessalonians, right? The Lord himself would send a strong delusion that they believe a lie. See if you can find that for me. Anybody know where that is off the top of your head? That the Lord, as a form of judgment, sends a strong delusion. Because we rejected the truth.
2:11.
Thank you. Thessalonians 2:11. Okay, start right there. Go back up to about 8. And then shall that go to 7. Now, we can go right there. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Time out a minute.
2 Thessalonians.
What is the mystery of iniquity? The mystery of iniquity. When was this written? Long time ago, wasn't it? The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who's blocking it is going to be taken out of the way. And then we're going to see that wicked one. It's going to be revealed. We're going to see it. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and all signs and lying wonders. Anybody think we're there yet? Anybody think this is an end time prophecy, or is this a gradual development because of the cold, dark heart of men?
Boom, we're here.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because, Vinny, they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. This stuff all happens because they haven't received the love of the truth. Folks, even in our circle here, we have people who fight and cling to things that are not true. Sorry, I'm finding more of them every day. I ain't holier than that, okay? And for this cause, somebody real smart out there who's had English, what cause? And for this cause refers to what? What does it refer to? Come on, somebody.
The allowance of iniquity.
Well, yes, but it refers to what he just said. And what did he just say? They loved, received not the love of the truth. Because they didn't receive the love of the truth, the Lord's going to send a strong delusion. Who's sending the strong delusion? The Lord is sending them strong delusion. They believe a lie. Can you just look around and see the crap people believe? Come on. Sorry. We have Christians who actually think the public schools are okay. Now, I got to tell you something. If that ain't a strong delusion, huh? What? Wow. And for this cause, he sends a strong delusion that should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There it is, isn't it? So a lot of what we're dealing with, whether it be in time or whatever you want to do, this is the judgment of God upon us because we receive not the love of the truth. Vinny, there's a boom for you. Give me a boom. So it's everywhere. It's everywhere in our culture and in our society that we do not love the truth. I saw something. I don't know if you guys know this. This to me, this is pretty pertinent as well. I'm kind of off on a tangent here. Would you believe anything? I'm just asking you. Would you believe anything any council member in Springfield, Ohio would tell you? Would anybody here believe anything they would tell you? Why would you believe? Would you think that maybe the people sitting on the Springfield City Council, do you think they want everybody to know how much money they have received from the government? And why would the government, bring in people with an entire different culture? What culture are you talking about? Oh, well, pull that up for me here real quick. Number one. How many of you knew this? Number one. We're number one. Ohio Governor DeWine. Oh, is that what I gave you? That's not what I wanted. There it is. Trump overeating the pets claim Haitian voodoo is real. Folks, do you understand that? Do you understand that the religion of Haitians, now look, God bless Haitians. I'm not talking about individual Haitians. But you understand that at the heart of what's going on in Haiti is voodoo. You know that? That's their religion. And can somebody tell me how you merge voodoo and Christianity? How does that work? So they come into a culture and a society that is somewhat still quasi-Christian. And they bring their voodoo with them. And of course, in America, because we are secular, we cannot say, hey, stop the voodoo because we're a Christian nation. We're not allowed to say that anymore. Therefore, everything is welcome and everything has equal standing. Are you with me? See, the only reason everything has equal standing is because Christianity gives the man, the heart, freedom of choice. You can choose to be a pagan if you want to. You can choose to do voodoo if you want to. But Christians are the only ones who have a standard that you can't violate. You can't violate this standard. You can't make all of us accept voodoo. You can't make all of us accept transgenderism. You can't make all of, are you with me? And what are they doing? They're bringing all of this stuff in. And what's the Lord saying? All right. You rejected the truth? Here you go. That's what I think's going on. I'm looking at what I got over here. I want to hear from you. Before I get into some of this, by the way, I'm going staking this weekend. Sunday morning, we are going to go stake Springfield, Ohio. If you want to go, text me, email me. We're going to go. We're going to go on Sunday morning. I know some of you in church. Most of you aren't. We're going to go down. We're going to stake Springfield, Ohio. So if you want to go, let me know. Randy, come on in.
Coach, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. And I guarantee you, you'll see fruit from it, Coach. Promise you.
I know we will.
Yeah, I promise you. So let's think about this, Coach. Is the Haitian, is the voodoo, is all the new age stuff that they're pushing right now, is it countering what we're doing? Or, Coach, are we countering what they're doing? I don't know for sure. I don't think it matters. But here's the point. Who's greater, he that is in us or he that's in the world?
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying about their targeting Christianity, Coach, we're their only opposition, the real Christians.
We are, brother. We are in.
They take us out in this country, it is finished. But you know what? They're not going to take us out, Coach.
No, they're not. No. They're not going to take us out. And we're going to go and we're going to stand up and we're going to push back. And all we're seeing again is what we just read. Because we rejected the truth, the Lord's sending this strong delusion. The Lord is. I look at people and say, how come you can't see it? But they can't. They can't see it. Not that they won't. They can't. And if you see it, praise the Lord that you do. Craig, come on in.
Can Spence pull up what I put in the chat, Coach, so you can read the first?
Sure.
Okay. So let's look at Haiti and a Dominican Republic joining each other.
Yeah.
What's the difference there?
Craig, you won't believe this. I was going to do exactly what you're about to do. You go ahead, brother.
All right. So why is the Dominican
Haiti
Republic?
Haiti and the Dominican Republic, folks, are connected. You go over the mountain, you're in the Dominican Republic. Go ahead.
So anyways, if you look at the tragedies that befall that little island, most of it falls bad on Haiti. And the reason it falls bad on Haiti is there's a lot of Catholicism that established there. But look at what it says. Read that first verse there. What did they do with their Catholicism? They connected it with voodoo. So read that, Coach. It's right there. It tells you what to do. Here's another breadcrumb. Go get Hillary's book. Where did Bill and Hillary go on their honeymoon?
Haiti.
Haiti. And it talks about how they had a ritual during their honeymoon. Where did George Bush and Bill Clinton, and where did all the money come to the Clinton Foundation from?
Haiti.
The big earthquake in Haiti.
By the way, Governor Michael DeWine has a ministry in Haiti. Did you guys know that? Did you know that that's probably why all these Haitians are in Springfield? Because Governor DeWine only lives 15 minutes away from Springfield. And so he goes to Haiti and he brings Haitians to Springfield. Something going on there, isn't there? So Haiti is a major Christian country. Is this Wikipedia? Well, I don't know what it is. For much of its history and up to the present day, Haiti has been a prevailing Christian country, primarily Catholic, although in practice often profoundly modified and influenced through syncretism. Do you guys know what syncretism is? It's mixing it all together. Mix it all in a bowl. You put everything in a bowl and you stir it up like when you make a salad. Michelle makes these, she stirs it all together, right? A common syncretic religion is voodoo, which combines the Yoruba religion of enslaved Africans with Catholicism and some Native American strands. It shows similarities and shares many godlike saints with Cuban Santeria, Brazilian Candomblé. The Constitution of Haiti establishes the freedom of religion and does not establish a state religion, although the Catholic Church receives some of the preferential treatment. And those identifying with the Catholic Church make up the largest single Christian group in the country, and they are variously estimated to be about 55% of the population, yada, yada, yada. Protestant has grown in recent years because, right, Protestants go there for vacations and call it mission trips. And I wonder how many religion in Haiti, according to the World Religions, 65% Catholic, 20% Protestant, other religion, but understand that their Catholicism is mixed with voodoo. So it's not even really Catholicism, right? I'm kind of all over the place, but this is good, Craig, so that we understand what it is that we're dealing with. Why would Michael DeWine pull that up? Man, this is amazing how this goes together. I think maybe it's a standalone email. Ohio Governor DeWine's deep connections to Haiti. Really? Really? Oh, by the way, Governor DeWine's a Catholic. Look who's standing beside him there. Governor DeWine, Catholicism, voodoo, Springfield, overrunning the city. Something's happening here. Is it purposeful? Hang on. Could DeWine be a good guy deceived? Could he be? Could he really in his heart think he's doing a good thing, be deceived? Well, didn't we just read that the Lord said he'd send a strong delusion? They'd believe a lie? Does DeWine think to this day he's done what's best for Springfield, Ohio? Has he? Man, Jack, come on in. Deep, huh?
Yeah. Your salad analogy works only because in the most part of the country, the salad is tossed. But in Haiti, it's gone through a blender. You cannot.
That's right. Blended. Good one. It's not tossed. It's blended together. Yeah. That's what we're dealing with, right? So so we're in the mess that we're in. I don't want to make this again totally about Haiti and Springfield and what's going on. That's not the purpose of what I'm trying to do today. I'm trying to show you the deception. Are you guys like me? Do you look around and see things and say, I cannot believe that's happening? Anybody but me feel that way? What is wrong with those people? How can they not see? Well, we just read it. Because we rejected the truth, the Lord sends a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. I'm going to tell you something. That delusion, that lie, is about to be exposed. It's about to be exposed. Now, we have to be careful. Don't cast your pearl before swine. Friends, listen to me. I'm going to go save you some frustration. Speak the truth and don't argue. Speak the truth and move on. Because at some point, that seed you planted is going to bear fruit. At some point, with what's coming down the road, people are going to say, you know what? Bob Evans has been seeing that. You know what? Pastor Dale's been seeing that. You know what? Jack's been seeing that. You know what? Craig's been saying that. Quit trying to convince people. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. You speak the truth and do not get into an argument, because you have to understand that many of them are operating under a strong delusion. They cannot receive the truth.
Boom!
That's what we're dealing with. That's where your frustration comes from. And so, you know, in the little titty-tat I had yesterday with our daughters, I didn't continue to argue it. I didn't say, it's clear they don't get it yet. They don't get it. I can promise you this. Their church ain't talking about it.
Hey, Coach, can I say something?
Sure.
The gift of discernment is a very lonely road. And it's a gift, and it's a gift from God. Don't claim it for yourself. But the gift of discernment is a very lonely road.
Amen. Amen. It is for sure. For sure. Let me throw something. Okay, go ahead, Janine.
I think it's harder when you're younger and you have young children and everything, because you're looking, you want them to survive. You want to live in a world that... You got married, you're happy, you have children now. So when the world turns, when it turns around and your parents or even they know your parent because you raised them differently. My children too, they know, but yet there's a love holding on for the truth. But when you get our age, you look around and you say, you know, Lord, I'm really sorry. I really screwed up, because why wasn't I following you right from the get-go? The love of the world is what is destroying the people. And we just got to pray that whatever we've taught them, that they will come and the Lord will bring it to their mind.
Because, Janine, only the Lord can guide them to all truth. Only the Holy Spirit can do that.
Absolutely. Right? And you set yourself as the best example of keep sharing the truth. And somewhere, sometime, hopefully, that seed will come to their mind.
Amen. And bear good fruit. That's all we want. You folks, come on now. You've raised teenagers. You can't hammer anything in anybody's head. You can't. It's even harder as an adult, right? Just feed them and move on. You don't have to win the argument. Just feed them and move on. Roger.
Oh, I was just going to play off of that. I've got some young adults with families and kids, and you know, I do my best to put in front of them my thoughts, and for the most part, they're in agreement. But you know, it's kind of sad that I have to warn them this much. It's kind of sad that I have to spark a little fear of the future. But I also believe, and again, fear is throughout Scripture. People come around to the Lord and the Lord's teachings through fear a lot of times. But it's kind of sad as parents that we have to share this, because, you know, you want them to have a good life. You know, you want them to be able to golf on Saturday and potluck on Sunday and Little League baseball and go to bed at night and be comfy. But that's not the future that's before our kids.
No, it isn't. It isn't.
But I do believe your comment, it is the Holy Spirit that will turn the hearts in these topics.
Only the Holy Spirit.
Not mom and dad browbeating, not mom and dad. Just lay it out lovingly but firmly, and let the fear of the Lord permeate them through the Holy Spirit. But there's a sadness I have as a grandpa, as a B-ball, to have to bring this stuff up, because I want them to come into 1955 or 1960.
That's right.
All they had to worry about was, you know, climbing underneath a desk in school and, you know, all that. That seemed all so little. That all seemed so irrelevant. But
yeah,
I agree. It is the Holy Spirit that changes hearts.
Amen. Only the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. Oh, I could go 1,000 directions. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, your concept of take a stand, speak the truth, and move on, we need to practice that in all avenues of life. That's why I'm constantly at battle with the political people. Take a stand, speak the truth, don't back down. You don't have to win. Speaking the truth and standing is winning. We don't.
Yes, sir.
We constantly in this idea that if I can't win, if we can't, don't have enough votes, then I'm not going to take the stand. Is stupid, and that's why we fail.
Spencer, pull up the full armor of God. That's found, is that in Ephesians? Where's Ephesians? Is that where it is, the full armor of God? So that where it is?
Six.
I got you, Jeff. Hang on a second. Full armor of God. It's Ephesians, isn't it? Ephesians 5. Is it Ephesians 5? Come on.
Six.
Ephesians 6.
Chapter 18 or something like that.
Thank you. Ephesians 6. Finally, my brothers. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and be strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Time out. What would the wiles of the devil be? Because that's what we're standing against. Hey, Spence, what's wiles? What's wiles? Ask Mr. Webster. What's wiles? He doesn't have something on. Find it from some other language. The wiles of the devil. I mean, I know what it is, but I want you to not have to believe me. Wiles, stratagem, a trick intended to deceive or ensnare, a disarming or seductive manner. To influence or lead by means of wiles, entice. Okay, let's go back to Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, boys and girls. But we're wrestling against principalities. We're wrestling against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. We're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. Look, folks, high doesn't mean high. It means in an authority structure. The same thing we read in Psalm 2, right? Why do the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing? There is a stratagem, and there is There is a cabal of spiritual wickedness in high places that is operating against the Lord and against his anointed. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against our daughter and her husband and our neighbors and our parents. We wrestle against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. See, there's darkness in this world, and it's an organized assault against spiritual wickedness in high places. Again, not high, authority. Spiritual wickedness in elected officials, in governmental officials, in authority figures, evil, wicked. That's why you got to take on the whole armor of God. Because you got to stand against all that stuff. And having done everything you can do, you got to stand. What? Having your loins girded about with truth. Stand and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace. By the way, ain't none of these things physical. You can't put on a breastplate of righteousness. You can't put on a, come on, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel peace. This is a spiritual battle in a natural world. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you might be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. So evidently, I need a shield of faith because somebody's shooting darts at me in this natural world. And above all, take the helmet of salvation. And the sword, the only offensive weapon you have, the word of God. And pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching therefore into all perseverance and supplication of the saints. Boys and girls, we are operating in a secular world with spiritual weapons, and we're not applying the spiritual weapons to the secular world. We're just not.
Amen.
Jeff, come on.
You got 103 people on the numbers right now, and whoever's listening. We have a brother, a pastor, and a friend that's going in Thursday morning to that wicked place in D.C. at 10 o'clock. I was with him last night. I went down visiting. I'm no longer at that church down there, but I thought I got to get down and hang with him for an evening. He's training up Connie. He's getting her prepared just in case. The two attorneys, he told me last night, he said, my two attorneys told me, he said, Pastor Bill, they want to take you straight from that courtroom, straight to lockup. So he has handled it, you know what I mean? But with everything he's been through, I talked to him last night, I mean, with the death of his grandson, the death of his mom and dad, now they're saying his brother might die, incurable cancer, Bill, or Jim Dunphy. Just on and on and on. It just doesn't stop. So he's preparing that church down there, somebody to teach next Thursday night, preparing Connie. But he said the only thing that's going to keep him out of there is the Lord God Almighty. We need prayers going up the next few days. He is just, that verse you just read, there it is. Prince of Connie's power. That Judge Reggie Walton is 40 years on the bench in D.C. He is a far leftist. You know, I share with everybody. I said that man told him a couple months ago, he said, Pastor Bill Dunphy, you go anywhere and preach, and you mix politics and religion, I'm coming after you. He has no right to say that, but this is how much hatred he has for Pastor Bill. But there's been a few good things happen that Pastor Bill said, but it could go either way. He said so.
Okay, so listen, Jeff. Thanks. I'm gonna go. By the way, but hey, folks, listen. We have to be careful, Jeff. I'm not criticizing you. Okay, I just heard, folks. Listen. We have got to quit repeating what the devil says. You got to quit repeating what the devil says. And every time I talk to Pastor Bill, I tell him the same thing. You aren't serving any jail time. I don't go to the negative. I don't even give life to the negative. Speak life. We're supposed to speak life. I'm not criticizing you, Jeff.
Yep. I reminded him that last night. Coach is still saying it. I said, we're believing it.
That's what I'm believing for. That's what I'm believing for. And there ain't no buts with it. Like people like to say, well, you know, the Lord could deliver him, but if he didn't, well, what the hell does that mean? The Lord's going to deliver him, but if he doesn't, you tell me that's not the double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Let him expect nothing from God.
We lifted Reggie Walton in prayer last night. The Lord changed that man's heart.
Amen. 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 What? Hey, Jeff, wicked people in high places, right? Isn't that what it said in Ephesians? Didn't we just read that? Somebody go back and pull that back up for me. Reggie Walton, I hope he's watching. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. Is Judge Reggie Walton in a high place? Seems to me he is. Jake Lang got out? Well, praise the Lord on that one. Johnny, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, Coach. I just had... having the Holy Spirit coming on me, telling me right now, God, I've got a calmness in my heart, because he tells us, shed the truth and leave the consequence to me.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. That, folks, huh? At some point, folks, they're going to say, you know, you've been saying that. You've been saying that. At some point, you ain't gonna be the fool. The one who's going against the flow always looks like the fool. Always. Gino.
Yes, I just want to say that, yes, we need to pray for Pastor Bill. Is that his name? Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Because yesterday I asked you guys to pray for my friend, and I thank you for praying for him. We went into court, and the judge went a different direction than we were thinking about. because he went back and repeated something that we went to court for a month ago, and it was all dealing with the driver's license. People, we don't understand how we are under their thumb by doing their license. And the driver's license is the number one thing. All that judge is concerned about him, get a driver's license and we'll take care of the matter. Wow. But that driver's license puts us under the devil's covenant, you might say. It's a covenant from the devil. And it's hard to explain. And you guys can kick me out and say I'm crazy. I don't care. But anyway, I wanted to thank you all for praying.
Gino, we've had a lot of crazy people in here, and we have never kicked anyone out.
I know.
I just want to say that again, because they accuse me of that all the time. We have never banned anybody. Ever. Right? Ever. Jack.
Yeah, I think I've been banned. No, I'm kidding. The Ephesians 6 thing. There are so many facets to that training. If you look at it from there's so many ways to look at it. There's discipline. There's education. There's self-defense. The last thing in there, after all that training, is which weapon to pick up. Amen. There's training. There's discipline. There's education. There's standing. There's all kinds of stuff in those five or six little verses. And the last thing is which weapon to pick up. In here, we pick up the weapon of staking, say. In tactical civics, they pick up the weapon of the jury. What weapon are you going to wield, and learn how to wield it? Anyway, that's it. Turn in your driver's license.
Amen. hey, real quickly, the Lord just said something to me. Spencer, go to Webster. It says, cast not your pearls before swine. What are swine? Cast not your pearls before swine. Swine, let's see, is a hog, a quadrupled of the genus Sus, which furnishes man with a large portion of his most nourishing food. The fat or lard of this animal enters into various dishes in cookery. The swine is a heavy, stupid animal and delights to wallow in the mire. Cast, what a picture that is, right? Don't cast it before the pigs, the piggy people. Quit doing that. Have the discernment to understand they're not getting it and shut the hell up.
Boom.
Because otherwise you are going to walk into uncontrollable frustration, trying to convince them of something they cannot see. And he said, quit casting the pearls to those people who are mired in the heavy, stupid delights and wallow in that mess. Stop doing that. Don't waste your time. Move on. That's really good, isn't it? That's why I love the Holy Spirit. He told me to look that up. Cast not your pearl before swine. A lot of swine around, aren't there? A lot of them, for sure. Okay, where am I, Coach? Let's get back over here. Good point for somebody to come. Okay, I got a couple things I just want to show you. Go to number five. This is
kind of Coach. Tough. If you ever raised pigs, you would know exactly what Jesus was talking about.
That's right.
If you could see them, Coach, and see that he's saying, don't waste your time, your money, your efforts, because it's worthless. It's worthless. Don't waste your time.
One of my friends, I'm not going to tell you who it is just because he might even know who it would be. He is just fire hosing people, just fire hosing them. And you know what happens? He gets frustrated. And I said, quit casting your pearls before swine. Stop trying to convince them. Stop it. Huh? Stop it. Lord said, if I tell you, what's that scripture? If I tell you natural things, you don't get it. Why would you even understand spiritual things? I don't know. This is good. Listen to this. Hey, friends, how can the American church allow the idea that a human child, unborn child, is not alive? How can we not even counter that most basic of lies? Why? Oh, at least make them say, we know it's a baby, but we want to kill it anyway. And they don't do that, do they? They don't do that. Oh, no, it's choice. My body, my choice. Well, it's not your body. That's your body. What are you talking about? So these are the type of things we have the opportunity to influence, and we don't influence. I thought this was pretty good. I don't even know if it's true. I assume it is. This is a girl calling a late-term abortion facility. By the way, she's not calling for an abortion. She's just showing you what goes on. Go ahead and play it.
I have a care clinic in Bethesda, Maryland.
Thank you for calling, Karen. How can I help you?
I am looking to have an abortion.
How far along are you?
I'm 34 right now. I am in a pretty desperate situation. My boyfriend is kind of out of the picture now, so I don't really have any support.
An abortion at any stage is actually much safer than delivering a term pregnancy. It's a 4 to 5 day procedure. We do some basic lab work on you and start to dilate your cervix. After that, we do what we call the fetal injection. A needle is inserted through the abdomen and into the fetal heart where lidocaine is injected, and that will completely numb the fetus so there's no pain. And then after that, we inject a medication called digoxin and another medication called KCL into the fetal heart, which will slow and then stop the fetal heartbeat. And then on that fourth day, depending on how your cervix is dilated, we'll break your water, and then we'll give you a medication called misoprostol. Misoprostol will sort of induce contraction and increase the dilation of your cervix. You're going to have contractions and cramping, and then we'll assist you in sort of pushing in the induction and then remove all of the products of conception. You're definitely going to feel discomfort and cramping and a lot of pressure, but we do give you fentanyl and Versed during the procedure. We specialize in later trimester care. Our doctor is very well versed in what he's doing, and he's very good.
So I'm not like a rare situation. Y'all help women this late in pregnancy all the time?
All the time.
Right.
What did they call it? What did they call that material? Material, that was, pull that up there again, just at the end of it.
Product.
Product of conception. Folks, the church doesn't even counter this stuff, these lies. Product of conception. Huh? Roger.
Abe, I've got a friend in the hospital. They're ill. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus to heal that person. I have a friend who faces prison time. I pray in the name of Jesus that those jail cells will never close on him. How is our prayer to be handled when the person dies, when the man goes to jail? I understand God's word. I understand the promises there. But he is sovereign. We know not what he thinks versus what we want. So scripturally, that's where I struggle sometimes, is when he doesn't deliver what we want, has he failed us? Has his sovereignty been questioned? I don't think so, but that's the struggle, because many a person sincerely prays for God's healing of their loved ones, and it does not happen. So did we not pray fervently enough with enough faith? That's where I struggle sometimes. Your thoughts or anybody else's thoughts?
Well, my thought is, it's pretty obvious. This life's not about this life. It's about the next life. Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Everybody is going to die. Even if you get a miraculous healing and you continue to live, the bus stop ends up in death. And what have you done with the time that the Lord has given you? That's really what it comes down to.
I agree on that. I understand that on the death thing, but in Pastor Bill's situation, you know, and Jeff brought it up, why is it, I guess to me, wouldn't it be wisdom to prepare Connie if he goes?
wouldn't it be wisdom to get your finances in order if he goes?
Yes.
To me, it's not a but. It's not a backdoor game.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Backup. It's more the wisdom that flows through scripture of preparedness and organization, and that we don't know his will. We're not doubting that God can bring Bill home. But what we are saying is, Lord, give us the wisdom to handle all situations. And to me, that's okay. I think that's all right. It's not lessening my knowledge of him to do whatever he wants and to answer my prayers, but it's the wisdom that flows through scripture of preparedness and what could happen. That to me is okay, I think.
So,
amen.
We are a spiritual being living a human existence, right? And so everything that we're praying for the Lord for is really to somehow or some way improve or enhance our human experience. And God is above and beyond that. No matter what happened, if I were to drop dead tomorrow, and we would all cry and do all that stuff they do at the funeral. Oh, my wife would be sick. The Lord would make good out of my wife's life from here on as a result of that. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And if we can come to the understanding that our life is not about this world, we're supposed to impact this world as we move through it. But if we really believe the word, Leviticus 7, where is it? The day of your death.
Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1.
Ecclesiastes 7, the day of your death is better in the eyes of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Roger, we don't believe that. And this is to the believer, by the way. This is to the believer. And so if I were to drop dead tomorrow, the deep work that would be done in the life of my family would be beyond what we could ever even imagine. Now, some would come to a crucible. Some would be mad at God that Coach Dave, that Grandpa died. A lot would be mad, but a lot would draw closer to the Lord as a result of that having the reality of it. So his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end result is death and destruction. I don't know. I don't have an answer, man.
Coach, I read that Ecclesiastes 7 a week and a half ago at my mom's funeral. My two brothers and sisters that say they believe in God and say they're Christians wouldn't even speak to me. They shunned me. And yeah. I walked away. I left.
Because modern Christianity has taught us it's about this life. It's about this world. And it isn't. Folks, it isn't. We're just passing through this world. And we're supposed to leave a mark. And goodness and mercy is going to follow us as a result of us coming through. And I'm going to tell you this. Any believer who's passed over the veil, who's passed on to any believer who passes over, they wouldn't want to come back. Not if we really believe it. We ought to be applauding that they graduated. Yeah. But it's hard to, because we're spirit beings in a natural world. It's hard for us to understand. It really is. Jack, come on in quickly. And Jeff.
Yeah. On Roger's question, I struggle with that mightily. That's always a big deal.
Yep.
So the question is God trying to get your attention, our attention? We pray for that all the time. We pray for discernment, which often leads to depression. But is he trying to get that judge to be exposed? Maybe he's trying to expose that judge.
Yeah,
and poor Bill is part of it. And if we all knew, if we could publish, if we could get the world to see that judge say that if he mixes religion and politics, he's coming after him. That's enough to hang that judge in the square.
Yeah.
Why aren't we doing that?
Jeff, come on in quickly.
Real coach, Romans chapter 10, it says, how's the word to be heard unless it is preached, unless they're sent? You need to go on the offensive. Thank you.
Amen. Take the full armor of God. Huh? The only sword we have, the only offensive weapon we have is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hey, we're going to go to Springfield. Is today Friday? Man, going to go to Springfield on Sunday morning. Anybody wants to go do a prayer walk with me? Love for you to come. Hey, I'm telling you, folks, what's about to happen is going to be unbelievable to watch. an unveiling, a revealing like we've never seen. And I don't know if we're ready for it. See you on Monday.